meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Assemblymembers Robbins?
Here.
Mock?
Here.
Austin? Dalrymple?
Here.
Powell? DeBoer? And Mayor George.
Here. And persons to be heard.
We don't do the Pledge of Allegiance at a special meeting?
No.
We're less patriotic.
Wow. And what surprises me, we don't do conflict of interest, but if there is, I'll ask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will. Do we have anyone signed up for persons to be heard? Would you like to say a few words?
I did not sign up, I apologize.
Okay, that's okay.
Yes.
Yeah, please. Yeah, go to.
That's not appropriate, because it's not, this is a special meeting.
Oh, we can't have you speak on, hazmat.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Hazmat.
Yeah.
Because he traveled here.
Right, okay.
If I make it very quick.
Yeah, please, please, please.
I'm not going to put it in the minutes.
Okay, it's a deal, so. Thank you. I don't want to derail your special meeting too much. My name's Dan Nelson. I am a consultant based out of Soldotna, Alaska, and I just wanted to make a quick note here. We're in town working on your jurisdiction's hazard mitigation plan. And hazard mitigation planning is one of these things that's not the most glamorous thing that we ever see, you know, with first responders and some of those things, but it really underpins some of your entire process. So earlier our group worked on your emergency operations plan, which you approved this spring. We're working on some just finishing touches to making that into a quick reference and things for your responders. But hazard mitigation planning is really designed to identify hazards that may affect your community and how we might mitigate those hazards. What kind of actions can we take to reduce that? And going through this process, there's a significant amount of community input that we request. So you may have seen some of the social media posts. We have a website out that has some of our information that we'll be updating. It's wrangleplanning.com. It also has our survey. And so I just wanted to point that out. If you have citizens that are interested, we'd love to see their feedback on these things. That's a great way to do it. Of course, you can contact me directly as well. I know Clerk and Mason have our contact information. But really what I wanted to mention here is we're going through this process of validating what you did about 5 years ago when you last updated the plan. And what we look for is what actions are out there and what's in the long-term future. Because if we start thinking not just 5 years ahead, 10 years ahead, but if we really want to start thinking about bigger projects that might help us be more resilient, more secure in our community, what this process does is it kind of jump-starts some things that might allow you to find funding from various sources in the future. Of course, we can never guarantee that, but this is that first step if we identify it here. So I just wanted to mention that. I don't want to overstay my time here, but I'm certainly available after directly. I mean, I'm going to sneak out here and finish up some work, but please, if any members of the Assembly have questions or anything that I can answer, feel free to reach out after. So. Again, thank you very much, and I'll let you get back to your meeting and your agenda today.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
All right. Item 3A is a public hearing item, ordinance number 1087 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, adding chapter 20.62, planned unit developments, and amending several sections in Title 20 zoning to add and reference planned unit developments to the Wrangell Municipal Code. I'll ask for an administrative report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I don't have much to add on this item. We addressed it in the first reading of this ordinance 1087. Again, I'd like to thank Kate for a job well done, as well as our legal team, Mr. Rob Luce and Kim. So really great product. Again, this is a device that we can use for future planning purposes. We're witnessing the development of one PUD with search, and this will serve as a model template, but really a device to deviate from development standards, and that's articulated in the ordinance. We went through all this last time. If you have any questions for Kate and I, I'm happy to answer it, but we'll move this special along.
All right, thank you. Any testimony from the audience? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to close the public hearing, and I need a motion.
Move to approve ordinance 1087.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Dalrymple, second by Robbins. Any discussion? Again, this gives us guidelines and gives us a little bit more leeway in developing areas. Okay, I'm so glad to see this. This has been worked on for a couple of years, hasn't it?
Yes. But namely in the last couple months.
Yeah.
Thanks to Kate.
Yes, thank you very, very much. All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly Member Smock?
Yes.
Gallantone?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 4A, it's on page 16, ordinance number 1081 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, adding a new chapter 11.39, micro-mobility devices, to Title 11, Vehicles and Traffic, of the Wrangell Municipal Code.
Move to approve third reading of ordinance 1081 and move to a fourth reading with a public hearing to be held on July 22nd. 29th, 2025.
Second.
Okay, motion by Robbins, second by Mock.
Okay, thank you, Madam Mayor. Hot topic, third reading of 1081 being reintroduced per the work session that we had. We did have a productive work session with members of the public and the council on the matter of micromobility devices. I see that Chief Meek has just joined us in the room here. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but I'll hit the high notes of what we discussed last time. The biggest change actually was from the last time that you guys seen it to now is actually per Assemblymember Dalrymple's comments regarding parental responsibility and the nuisance language, and we've clarified the nuisance language to essentially show that this is for repeated violations and this isn't a first-time thing that we would deem a device a nuisance. And then on the parental responsibility section, it was kind of ambiguous on what happens, you know, to parents. What are the implications of lack of parent oversight? So we tied that to existing municipal code, and I think it's a lot better product. So again, ordinance 1081, there's an age restriction of 12 that's proposed right now for ages, it doesn't even have to be age 12, but if you have a learner's permit, a driver's license, or a borough-issued permit for operation of a micromobility device, all three qualify as prevailing. Permit to do so. The question I think that most people are grappling with on the assembly is the age restriction. We've heard some fairly compelling testimony over the last few weeks. Doesn't seem like age is really the thing that we should focus on. And in fact, I've had some time to reflect with Chief Meek on it. The test is going to be skill and competency based, and you know, vicariously age appropriate for what we're intending. So. If the assembly is going to sit here and debate the age for an hour, I would almost say that if you can pass the test, then you should be permitted to drive a micromobility device. And, you know, we can, if it provides the assembly any comfort, we can come forward with the test that we plan on bringing. I don't think it's going to take too long, but it's not going to be done by the time that this ordinance passes either. We could always bring the fourth reading back, well, the motions for the 29th, but we could always bring the fourth reading back at a time where that test is complete, if that gives you the assurance that you need. But I'm quite confident that we'll develop a nice product. So again, parental responsibility, the nuisance section was revised, and then it's currently read as age 12, borough issued permit, learner's permit, or a valid AKA driver's license, or valid driver's license, it doesn't have to be Alaska. So I'll entertain any questions on this, but I think it's the age that you guys are gonna grapple with.
That's what I was grappling with, Assembly. I asked the chief today if age 10 would be appropriate, and because I did observe really well-behaved operations of those e-scooters. So I was one that was thinking about lowering the age. But Assembly Member Robbins?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. Responsibility is not the only thing to consider. Kids need exercise, and I think these mobility devices are cool, don't get me wrong, but it's really taking away from that exercise that kids are getting at that young age that they need. I mean, we need to have recess at the elementary school. One of the reasons people don't want to move the school to the middle school building, I don't think kids they're fun, they're cool. You want to take them out camping? Great. But I don't think there's a problem with 12. I think 12 is probably a decent enough age. Kids are starting to do sports by then. But I really think that that's something to consider when you're talking about the ages. Kids need to get exercise. They need to be walking and using their bikes. And then, you know, I think the rules should be followed the same on pedal bikes too, pedal power. not necessarily 12, but the different lot or points outlined in the ordinance. So
right.
That is something to consider.
Okay.
Kids are responsible with a lot of things, but there's a whole picture.
Yeah,
my two cents.
You brought up some good points.
And just to clarify too, I mean, I think we can all acknowledge that there's 10-year-olds that are more mature than 23-year-olds in some cases, and in some cases maybe even smart, and they could pass a test versus the other. There's probably no debating that notion. So why deprive a kid that studied for the test, demonstrates that they know the rules of the road, and is able to operate the device responsibly? I think an age is really an artificial thing here, and I think that's why this assembly has struggled with it, and that's kind of why we're kind of proposing a potential amended motion to bring it back to just passing the borough issued test to obtain a permit. And you know, if we can monitor implementation of this, and if it seems to be not working out, come back and have more defined guidelines on an age restriction. So thoughts, questions, concerns?
What do you think, assembly? We've got the chief here. Assembly member DeBoer.
Two things. I would like to know what Chief Smeet thinks of an age restriction limitation. And then second thing is, I will say, the test is nice and all, but when you've got the chief sitting there looking at you, it's not the issue when mom and dad are looking or the chief's watching you. It's the issue of the kid that I saw the other day that almost took out a 2-year-old and then wrecked his scooter on the playground. He was going so fast.
On the playground.
On the playground. I almost took out a little 2 or 3 year old kid.
Which is a restricted area.
Which is a restricted area, but I understand that, but I'm just saying there's a difference when somebody's looking at you and somebody's not. So,
yeah.
What do you think?
Honestly, I'm torn on this one. Age is a determinant factor. However, between a practical written exam and then a skills test, you're going to show the capabilities of operating it. After that, if we start getting complaints, then we'll take enforcement actions. And obviously, a child going against what the ordinance is, riding their scooter on a playground, should have bikes on the playground, let alone scooters. It's all encompassing. With this course, one of the benefits is that we'll be sitting down groups and going over the rules. The same thing as when we were doing bike rodeos. We were educating not just the skills test portion, but how you operate on the roadways, how you operate in the surrounding areas, things that you should be doing, things that you shouldn't. This is going to mimic that. It's hard to put an age to that.
Yeah. Assembly Member Mock.
Yeah, if I can ask a question. So just like a driver's license, it could be revoked, right? And you show irresponsibility, and they lose their privilege, right?
That is correct.
So, I mean, I have great faith in your department and yourself, and I feel like you would only let those who could truly pass the test and not, you know, hey, what are you putting on there, right?
Assembly Member Bach, there's going to be some tear shit over this.
Yeah.
When people can't pass it, there's going to be some tear shit, and that's part of the growing and maturing process.
I think it's a great way of looking at it because I think age is a very difficult thing to put your hands on. I mean, we had a young girl last time share, and that got to me. I think that there are people who can operate safely, and they may be young, but they are responsible.
Any assembly member DeBoer?
I'm apprehensive to pulling any age restriction off. I mean, just because a 6-year-old could pass it, and you know, the big issue is we've already heard how many people come complain that they almost hit somebody already.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I'm not for pulling an age limit off. What it's going to be, 10, 12, 14, but I don't want to remove it completely.
Okay, so you want an age limit. Assembly Member Robbins?
I agree with Assembly Member DeBoer, and I really want to hit home that kids need exercise, and then you have, you know, a 6-year-old smart enough to pass it. We definitely have genius children in this community.
Mm-hmm.
But are their reflexes that great? I mean, I know there's skills tests, but let me tell you, I got my driver's license by about 1 point when I was 16, which is age restricted, by the way. Similar situation, right? We restrict that. We restrict
right.
drinking. We restrict smoking. So And I literally passed only by, I mean, one more mistake and I wouldn't have got my driver's license at 16. So if a 6-year-old is smart enough, but then their reflexes aren't quite there, or they, I mean, I don't know how many don't stop at the crosswalks. They just go. Yes, they have the legal right of way. That doesn't mean my car is going to stop fast enough. And I personally have had to brake for some of the kids we heard from. So,
right.
Again, I want to reiterate that kids need exercise, and just because they're smart and responsible doesn't make it safe. And I got kids. Okay, I got kids.
Yeah.
And they're, one of them's not old enough, and that's based on what we have. And that sucks for him, but this isn't coming because this is coming from a mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Assemblymember Dalrymple.
I've been always concerned about the overregulation of this activity. And I guess I got to say that I have no basis of knowledge. I think the age is very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And we have as a society that have set that for certain things. But with the boroughs, training, and I assume it's some practical stuff, Chief, from there as well.
There's going to be classroom and practice.
Yeah, so that's a thing. And as far as enforcement, it's going to take a while. But I think once those rules are in place, and you see activity like you did, Jim, at the playground, parents are going to know that that's not allowed, and the cops will know, and it'll get corrected, I hope, pretty hard. I think that's the other part of this, that there'll be sort of a social regulation of it fairly quickly.
I think we've seen some moderation of their behavior on the side of safety just by bringing this forward in the community. But, I mean, that's only my observation. Assemblymember Mock?
No, I think that was a good comment, because what we're seeing right now is a completely untrained...
Lawless.
There's been no formal training. There's been no formal teaching of it, so you could say that they're just running free, right?
Running amok.
So I do think that if it's brought to their attention, understand that they have to get this permit for it, go through the training, and then show that they're going to do it safely, I think will be a major component. I also think that a lot of these kids would probably use these micromobility devices to get to their friends' houses, to go out to the playground together. I don't see them using it as a way to not get exercise per se. I think that they would go play with their friends or sit at home and play video games. So I'd rather see them outside, even if it's boring. So.
Okay, so moving this along simply.
I can tell by the mayor's face it's going to come down to her vote tonight, so.
Well, I'd like to propose...
I have to have somebody make amend it.
I'd like to propose an amendment removing that operators must be 12 years old, and just put operators must have valid driver's license, learner's permit, or a CWVW issued micromobility device permit.
I'll second.
Okay. Not exactly where I wanted you to go, but
well, right. You, Patty.
Yeah. All right. So we have a amended motion. Does everyone understand the amendment? Yes.
I'd like to hear what your view would be.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried about 6 and 8 year olds because visibility for one thing, and so I'm apprehensive about that.
I feel like I have faith in Chief Meek's department to, you know, make those decisions. I think that there's a good chance this is right on the border of overregulation. So I think that I would leave it in your hands to see who's capable of doing these things. And
Roger that.
Okay.
I'll stop talking.
Okay. Assemblymember Robbins?
Just one more addition. I have chatted with our first responders, several of them,
yeah,
and there is concern about them not wanting to be the ones to scrape the kids off the pavement. Their words. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Any words of wisdom for us, Chief, before we vote on this amendment?
I started off when we first started talking about this, I started off with this is a very difficult ordinance to lay down simply because there's so many different angles. It will still be difficult. Passed, not passed, there'll be growing pains on both sides. Age limit, no age limit, there's still going to be growing pains on this. The community's just going to have to be patient until everybody gets educated and learns the proper way to handle these devices so that we can reduce injury. Is there 100% solution to this? There's not.
All right, Assemblymember DeBoard.
I'm just going to point out, if this goes through, that means I would even be more scared than with the six-year-olds on the road than on the sidewalks, right? Because now they're supposed to travel in the same lane as our 80-year-old drivers with poor vision here. So, and not be on the sidewalk, which is further away, so they're going to be just a couple feet from moving large trucks. And yeah, I think you understand my opinion on it. I just think it's too high of a risk to, especially with them being off the sidewalks in this.
Okay. Any other before I call for a vote? Okay, this is a vote on the amendment to remove the age restriction. Everyone understand? Okay, poll vote, please.
Assemblymember Stavropol?
Yes.
DeBoard?
No.
Robbins?
No.
Mock?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
No. Can't do it. All right, we're back to the main motion. It's 12 years of age.
I'd like to propose an amendment to lower the age limit to 10 years old.
Okay, we have another amendment.
Second it.
Okay, amendment by Mock, second by Dalrymple. 10 years of age. Any comment before I call for the vote? Assemblymember DeBoard?
All I'll say is we hashed it out for quite an extensive period of time to get to the number 12.
Okay.
So that's kind of already, to me, kind of meeting in the middle from the 14.
14. Okay. Assemblymember Mock?
I would say that 12 was kind of a meet in the middle point for sure. But I think it was kind of thrown out there. What got me is the 10-year-old that could come and speak to us very professionally, and I think that made me think a lot about that age. So, and to be honest, the whole getting a permit is and training these kids is a major part of it. Right now they have no training. They get this device for Christmas or something as a birthday present, and off they go. Right, but now they have to wait for a session with Chief Meek or whoever you propose, and they go through the course. And I think that's going to make a major difference on what you're going to see on the road. I truly do.
Borough Manager.
Yeah, Madam Mayor, I don't want to say I'm indifferent because I have my personal opinions on this, and this has been a good example of assembly-driven ordinance. This is something you guys wanted over a year ago.
Yes.
And staff's done I think a great job of trying to bring up a bunch of different tools, and it's a difficult issue because most boroughs in Southeast Alaska, as you've noticed, don't have one.
No.
I'm going to talk to Petersburg, and it doesn't sound like they really want to take it on because they've been watching from afar. And they might, we'll see what they end up doing. But what I would say is when we write this test, my direction to the police chief is going to be, it's going to be commensurate to a learner's permit issued test for a kid that's age 14. I mean, that's going to be the expectation here. So that's why I don't feel personally so compelled on the age restriction, because that's how it's going to be written. And, you know, I mean, if age 14 learner's permits are acceptable in the state of Alaska and the training the state gauges is acceptable and prepares them to be on the road, that's how we're going to write it. So
spot on.
You know, hopefully that gives you some solace and the process, and then maybe should have said that before the First Amendment, but
right. Rules of the road. Basic rules of the road. Any other comments before I call for the vote? Okay, this is on the amendment, age 10 and up.
Assemblymember DeBoard?
No.
Robbins?
No.
Mock?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilmer?
Yes. Okay. Now, main motion as amended. Anyone have any comments? Okay. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Robbins?
No.
Mock?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
DeBoer?
No.
And Mayor Gilmer?
Yes. Okay. It goes for another reading.
We'll have two more assembly members to complicate matters.
Right. Yep. We'll go through this again. All right. On to new business. 5A, resolution number 07-25-1958 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, accepting revenue in the general fund from Alaska Public Entity Insurance and restricting it for the purpose of a playground construction project.
Move to approve resolution 07-25-1958.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Robbins, second by Mock. Thank you, Chief Meek.
Thanks, Chief. You're good to go.
Yeah.
Y'all have a great evening.
Thank you. And we have a motion on the table, administrative report on this.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. A good story here. Some money has fallen from the sky from APEI. I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but it did. And so we have AMLJIA, which is Alaska Municipal League Joint Insurance Association, has merged with Alaska Public Entity Insurance. APEI was our insurance provider by and large for all our municipal insurance needs, stemming from general liability to property, mobile equipment, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, we use PW Insurance as a broker. The nice thing about this merger is API has to dissolve their assets, and they're giving capital contributions to its members. And so that's been in the form of a little bit more than $60,000 for the first distribution. There will be four. Still waiting on an answer as to the amounts of the next three, if they'll be the same across the board or if they will diminish or seek a plus up. That said, I've tried to honor Assembly Member DeBoer here because we've been stretched for finding funding for playground development construction, matching money for other grants for playground construction design. And so given this had no restrictions on it, that we feel comfortable with the budget we're rolling into for FY26, this is accepting the revenue and then restricting it in the general fund for playground recapitalization or construction.
Thank you. Any comments, Assembly Member Dalrymple?
Yeah. I like this. I'm going to support it, but there's some caveats. Like, well, I support it no matter what, but there's some things that make me a little uncomfortable. I think it's a great idea to start seed funding, basically, because we do need to put some money into these constructions. And we had the playground work session, I guess, a public one, and the gal came. That was really informative, but it was kind of a sales pitch for some beautiful playgrounds. And when Lucy was trying to get the price ahead of the gal, she was really reluctant. And kind of quietly, she said, well, it starts at $300,000. And the ones we were showing, I have no idea what they are. But they are like Disneyland Universal things. They got themes and whales and they're kind of sculptural parks almost. And I guess what I'm hoping for is a commitment. I think we're on it, that we're going to have some plan, I'm asking Mason, I guess, for the rec department to come out with a plan for the community, but also that it has a bunch of options in it, and a holistic plan to get to improvements all around, whatever we can. But I think getting the funding here seated on this, if you will. I also heard that we were going to be setting up contribution funds.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be a really another good way to add to this. And then get a priority. Jim, it looks like your kids broke some equipment here or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But we need to get this fixed, this kind of stuff, right away.
Yeah.
We don't need to wait for if the things are that bad, or we need to tear them down. There's definitely some crucial things we need to do. But anyway, that's all I got to say.
Okay, thanks. Assembly Member DeBoer.
So I let Lucy know as soon as we saw this yesterday.
But, I mean, Exhibit A, that just gives you another idea, and this is not the first picture I've taken of my kids standing in what would have been a fallen through playground. So, this means a lot more to me with my kid recently being sick. That's the first thing he wanted to do when he got out. And then the playgrounds in Seattle, obviously significantly better. But this is embarrassing. And that's the one big thing I hear from parents is our playgrounds are terrible. They're literally falling apart. I look at this as kind of like, you know, our road up here that we just paid $1.2 million for 30 yards of road. So to me, it's a maintenance project. It's like all the other maintenance projects here that just have fallen through the cracks. But and I understand that's just a drop in the bucket. And I think the bigger, and I've talked with Lucy and a bunch of parents about this, but the bigger idea is to try to gain, to start here and get enough money, 300 grand being kind of the starting point to even talk about it. And then we kind of do it internally, give the parents, and the idea was floated, even give the kids in the elementary school. You know, come up with 5 playground ideas that are feasible and let the children vote on it and see what happens, because they're the ones that are going to use it, right? But there's just a bigger, and yeah, you're totally right. This one needs to be torn down. There's other boards on there that, I mean, somebody obviously fell through it. And I don't think if you look in the picture in front of Wally, it just split right at the joint. It's not that somebody was, you know, vandalizing or being negligent. It just split, and there's other boards on that one that are ready to go too. So, I know that's one of, there's not, you know, talk about kids riding on e-scooters everywhere. Everybody goes to the school playground. That's the best playground we have, and it's not even really the city's. It's the school. So, this is just a project that means a lot to me, and I think it's been neglected, and it's been easy to kick aside for years. But I guess the thing that kind of bothers me is I know we're probably looking at $750,000 or more for a nice playground, but you do this once, you do it right, and you don't have to do it again for 30 or 40 years, and we drop $800,000 on a design plan for a new generator building that, you know, I mean, there's just a lot of maintenance needs that we have, and this is one that means a lot to me.
Thank you. Any other comments? Right. It's a good thing. Poll vote, please.
Yes. Assemblymember Small?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item B, page 31, Assembly. Resolution number 07-25-1954 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, providing for the amendment to the Public Works Administrative Assistant position.
Move to approve resolution number 07-25-1954.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Mock, second by Robbins. Administrative report on this.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Quick overview, and then I'll pass it to Tom to see if he adds anything. Generally, this has been a desire of the Assembly for several years to either get rid of this position or make it full-time, was the direction I received year after year. It is a valuable position. We previously did have an electrical dispatch secretary, but we feel that plussing this up to 40 hours for a full-time admin assistant to serve Public Works and Light and Power, and potentially down the road capital projects too in that whole department, will be a useful, very useful position. That's something I've spoke with Elsie, who is the latest holder of the position. Her last day was just yesterday. And I know that, you know, we've been advertising for this,
right,
and this
okay
is why. And we're really grateful for her work, so I appreciate Elsie's years of service to the borough. But something that the guys couldn't do without. And I cannot take that burden on here at finance. We can't centralize it to City Hall. The utility clerk down here, as well as the AP clerk, have already been overloaded for several reasons. But by and large, that's the major change, is going from part-time 20 hours to 40 hours. It'll serve Light and Power as well. Then Tom has added a few other essential duties to the job description, purchasing equipment from various vendors, implementing requisitions, the billing software, supporting billing department with the use of utility metering systems. So all-encompassing role. Tom manages 14, 15 positions altogether. He needs a little bit of additional administrative oversight. So well substantiated.
Okay. Any questions? This will work. It'll still be a part-time position as such for
Public Works, and but then it will replace, not totally, but we had a position as an assistant at the power plant, and this will be a half-time position essentially there too.
You know, so some things have changed over the last couple of years. So the, you know, electric department administrative assistant was a full-time 40-hour-a-week position. However, with the implementation of the AMI automated metering system, you know, I think that that was able to reduce, you know, some of the burden of that position. That position went away a couple of years ago, and Sherry and Aaron down here at City Hall have been picking up the brunt of those duties and, you know, all the purchasing, dealing with the mail, the work orders, you know, basically answering, directing calls, so on and so forth. And so, you know, we have gotten by with that in a 20-hour-a-week position in Public Works. And so, you know, at the very least, yes, we'll pick up Municipal Light and Power with this and lighten the burden back off of some of the staff here downtown. But yeah, Mason touched on the majority of the updates and changes. I do want to thank Elsie. She had almost 10 years in that position. She did a fantastic job and, you know, really enjoyed having her there. She was very good at it, very reliable, very trustworthy. So really want to thank her for her time. And yeah, the biggest updates or changes were primarily related to IT and then, you know, with accounting software and different things like that. And then, you know, the role is required to do a lot of purchasing and ordering. And so understanding the logistics and, like, you know, specifically when we buy things in the water department or the garage, you know, those are materials and supplies we need immediately. Those are things that we can't really wait on. Other departments, we can buy things in bulk and, you know, we can do monthly, quarterly orders kinds of things. But there's a few departments where, you know, time is of the essence, and knowing how to navigate, you know, when you live on a remote island, what's the easiest way to get something here from, you know, Alabama or wherever it's coming from, Sweden for a sewer pump, whatever the case may be. Having somebody who knows how to navigate that stuff will be helpful. So that was one of the additions.
Thanks, Tom. And Madam Mayor, if I might, the last thing I would say is you might be curious as to why there's not a budget amendment associated with this. Well, the fact that this will be split between light and power and Public Works, we feel that we won't need to amend the budget. The current position is 20 hours already. That will be split to Public Works' budget as it was already. And light and power's got a fairly sizable budget to work with this year, about $4 million typically each year, that we feel comfortable to maintain without increasing the budget.
Okay.
So.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, poll vote, please.
Assembly Member Stourenfeld?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
And Mayor Keller?
Yes. Thank you, Tom. Item 5, and thank you for cleaning, such a good cleanup for after the 4th.
Yeah, I want to thank our staff here on that, you know, our street staff, and also our water plant staff worked a bunch, and, you know, we had a water main break, lots of things to deal with on the 4th of July, and
yeah.
They did a great job making sure things happened. They put in a lot of hours between fireworks and porta potties and street cleaning and water main breaks and so on and so forth,
yeah.
So.
To
thank them if you see them.
To the public, it was flawless. So
great.
Thank them.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. C, resolution, it's on page 37, Assembly, number 07-25-1955 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, urging immediate action for effective sea otter management to restore Southeast Alaska's shellfish commercial fisheries and subsistence harvest.
Move to approve resolution number 07-25-1955.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Mock, second by DeBoer. And Borough Manager?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I kind of gave a signal that I was going to do this last assembly meeting. Obviously, you've come from a fishing family, come from a crabbing family, very near and dear to me in the community. There's over 64 permits for the Dungeness crab fishery. There's several shellfish permits across the board with when you include the spot prawn fishery. And so altogether, this is a call to action on the sea otter population and the proliferation of it since the introduction and reintroduction of the species in 1960. 400 sea otter were reintroduced back into Southeast Alaska. They have proliferated to over 70,000 in Southeast, which has devastated both tribal subsistence and commercial harvest opportunities of shellfish and the dive fisheries. It's been detrimental to our local economy as well as the regional economy. It's something that I feel it's really sad that there's been no association that has gotten together and really uniformly approached this issue, because I think if they had several years back, we would have got some traction on it. So the CBW is planning to lead and facilitate a cohesive strategy to seek mitigation of the sea otter population, to provide equitable disaster assistance to commercial fishermen and potential subsistence harvesters who have not had those opportunities as a result of the lack of management from the federal government and the state of Alaska. And then finally, as it relates to the commercial fishing industry, we're sponsoring or endorsing the idea of a buyback program, because a lot of that economic opportunity has impacted the cost of these permits and capital depreciation of these permits. So, and that's a direct result of the reintroduction of sea otters in Southeast Alaska by the federal government, which was a cooperative thing between ADF&G and U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and it's directly tied to that causation, and there was never a management plan, and they're going to have a hard argument against this one. So we're going to lead the charge on it. We've sent this resolution to all the Southeast clerks, city managers, mayors, and other stakeholders. I can tell you, when I sent this out, I also sent it to a lot of local fishermen, and I got texts all night long about it. They're stoked that finally somebody's taken action, and I think they just need a little bit of a catalyst to make it happen. So I'm excited to bring this forward. We've advocated for the commercial fishermen and subsistence harvest down at the Board of Fish down at Ketchikan, and I think, as a matter of equity, it's important that we do it for all fisheries and not just gill netters and seiners.
Yeah. And that was one of our goals, was to advocate for our fisheries. Any comments or questions? We did have a group of citizens several years ago come before us and sound the alarm on this expanding sea otter population. And I know Mike Lockaby was one of them that studied it extensively.
And Madam Mayor, and I know that Julie Decker led the charge on the last resolution that was done. Similar to this, I think we've done a little bit more of a thorough job and have some pertinent updates to the resolution. But we will be engaging some of those stakeholders that took part in that. I think it's important that this is a regional thing. We've engaged Southeast Conference and AML on the issue as well. And I think the timing's right. We've got a good relationship with our federal delegation. The federal administration probably is going to look fairly kindly on this issue. And, you know, the region has lost tens of millions of dollars because of poor sea otter management, and or no management at all.
Well, and we may need another resolution on the green crab, mm-hmm. because it's migrating north.
And these are issues that should be linked together and broached with the federal delegation and the governor's office. And, you know, I characterize it like this. What we've seen is they've proliferated and destroyed, complete hotbeds for the shellfish population. So they're just blank beaches all over Southeast Alaska that once were, really great crab grounds, great spot prawn grounds. And now there's a third of the area that's left, and you have the exact amount of pressure that was back in the day, same amount of permit holders, and they're fighting for a resource that's scarce now, and it's been directly done because government action, and it hasn't been remediated, and there's going to be a remedy.
And you've shared this with WCA, our partners?
Yes, correct.
Good. Any comments or questions, Assembly? Assembly member DeBoard?
Just a comment. When I first moved here, I looked, I think it was University of Washington, University of Anchorage, or one, but they had done like investigations before and after. And if you looked at the video or the pictures, it just looked like somebody just annihilated everything. There was beds of mussels and clams, and then there was just everything was picked clean. So if you look up, some of the pictures from the before and after, if you haven't already looked at that, it's pretty devastating.
Okay.
It's not just a crab and prawns, it's pretty much everything that's alive in those areas is gone.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay, poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members DeBoard?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Darmody?
Yes.
And Mayor Darmody?
Yes. Thank you for doing that, Borough Manager. Item D, page 42, resolution number 07-25-1956 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing the conveyance of public tide lands, lots
15A and 14A, Block 83-A, Plat 2004-09, to John Augustine for the appraised value of $45,600 plus associated fees.
Move to approve resolution number 07-25-1956.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Robbins, second by Mock. And this is before us again.
Yep. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Manager. Just a real brief excerpt on this. So last meeting on June 25th, the Assembly moved this forward for the title and sale of two parcels to John Augustine. The value came back for the appraisal, $45,600 plus associated fees. There was also an overpayment for the leased property that was a result of the plat being reduced for each of the square footage being reduced for each lots 14 and 15 of Block 83A. That overpayment resulted in $4,400 overall. We're going to have the overall amount due, and this is something that, you know, Mr. Augustine has leased for decades, and he's the only one that has access to the property. I think everybody's familiar with the issue. And it's not uncharacteristic for us to divest of titlelands in these cases. We've done this Easterly and several other recent examples. So we plan to continue to do this where appropriate.
Okay. Any comments or questions? All right, hearing none, poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly Members Robbins?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item E, page 65, resolution number 07-25-1957 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending fiscal year 2026 general fund budget to appropriate $148,182 from general fund reserves for the St. Michael Street Rehabilitation Project and authorizing its expenditure.
Move to approve resolution number 07-25-1957.
Second.
Okay, motion by Robbins, second by Dalrymple.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. A housekeeping item with a little bit more ad lib. We have received bids for the St. Michael's Street Project. I believe notice proceed is on its way, or shortly on its way here. I'm looking at Amber back at the room. We approved in the FY26 budget $1.1 million for the construction of this. The bids came back at $1.248 million. This is bridging the gap in funding coming from general fund reserves. If you exclude our general obligation bonds out of our total general fund reserves after this budget amendment, we would have $5.7 million in general fund reserves. That's approximately $11.62 months worth of reserves, which is still healthy. I'm to inform you per our budget policy when we get below 6 months general fund reserves. That's the value of covering expenses for the year,
right,
as it relates to months. And that's a standardized approach. I feel we have healthy reserves to pursue this project. I think we'll be set up for McKinnon when we get to the point, which has already been surveyed, and we'll proceed with design work here in the fall. Just appreciate Amber moving this project forward so quickly, and I know that we've got a lot of complaints on St. Michael's, so stay patient. I've heard people that don't even know that we're pursuing the project, so read the newspaper, come to the meetings. We've been saying it all along, and we're going to do a comprehensive road construction, first one in over a decade, because we didn't do water sewer on Evergreen, we didn't do sewer on Front Street. This is water, sewer, stormwater, and a complete resurfacing of our roads and our sidewalk infrastructure. We're not going to do any roads unless we do the utilities underneath them too.
And that's electric underneath, underground?
There will be no electric underground on this.
On this one?
Yeah.
Okay. But, I won't.
Depending on the nature of the project, yes.
Right. Okay. I didn't want to get us off topic. Any comments or questions? All right. Poll vote, please.
Assembly Members Mock?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Thank you, Amber. This has long been awaited here. Item F, page 68, resolution number 07-25-19. 59 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, providing for the creation of the executive assistant position and amending the non-union wage and grade table.
Move to approve resolution number 07-25-1959.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Robbins, second by Mock.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So Resolution 1959 amends a previous position passed by the Assembly. This has been a marathon, so I'm just going to say that.
Right.
The Assembly has long desired, I think, if I'm characterizing this correctly, to give the borough manager some additional support from an administrative perspective. I can't tell you how necessary this is. I think it will empower the position to focus on the grander things of the borough. A lot of the big initiatives get sidelined just due to clerical and administrative tasks that there's nobody to assign to. I think it'll certainly propel the position forward and the success of the borough. The position is just being relabeled the executive assistant. The salary grade I think that we passed originally and had conversations about was a little too steep for the skill set and competencies required by the position, so we've backed that off a little bit. But this will be not just an administrative assistant, but they will be expected to do a higher intellectual engagement in the role, and I think that they'll be expected to act in some cases as an assistant manager and do produce that type of work. Not all the time. That's not why we're bringing a deputy manager role, which has been done before. I think in the Assembly's past, we don't want to do that. But just to provide the adequate resources to the borough manager, we have no. I won't say that. We have limited capacity to take on IT and human resource matters. That's been often left with the borough manager or the finance department, and quite frankly, I don't think it's ever been handled as it should. So that'll be a core responsibility, and I can't assign that to the clerk. That's not her role as well. You know, there'll be a lot of interactions with our legal team. There's a lot of things that seek constant engagement and take me away from, or the borough manager position away from timely work that needs to be submitted. There's just a lot all the way across the board if you read through the job description. I don't know if there's anything you'd specifically like me to comment on, but we've talked about this a lot, and then it seems to never move forward, and that's not my doing. So I just want to make sure that we're on board because I am going to post this position if it's approved tonight. And we have an office now that's been renovated for this position down here, conservatively renovated, and would like to get this hired.
Okay. Well, we originally approved this January 28, 2025. Robbins made the motion. The board seconded it. And originally, it was a grade 30 payout, and you've reduced that to a grade 26, I believe, if I recall correctly. So I think this will do the job, and you're correct. We've been talking about this for quite a while. Any comments or questions?
Last thing I would say is it'll be simple clerical tasks all the way to higher level tasks, but to have the borough manager field all his own, all the own calls, handle all person interactions of community members to make their schedule is really quite debilitating from the bigger initiatives and projects that we're working on, and never seem to have enough time to really work on it without distraction. And I think this will set the position loose to accomplish some really great things beyond just me.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. All right, poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Board?
Yes.
And Mayor Miller?
Yes. Item G, page 74, resolution number 07-25-1961 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, establishing revised starting bid amounts for industrial lots 9, 11, and 12, and authorizing their sale via public auction pursuant to Wrangell Municipal Code, chapter 16.12.
Move to approve resolution number 07-25-1961.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Robbins, second by Mock. Administrative report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So this is a reduction in the rebid prices for lots 9, 11, and 12 of the Industrial Park subdivision. This is the 5th and 6th Avenue related lots. I provided a map in previous resolutions of these sites. If not, you can go into our Wrangell GIS to see them. You'll note that the lot 9 was initially listed for an excess of $50,000. It's being proposed at $39,000 for revised minimum bids. Lot 11 and 12 were both at $31,000. They're being proposed at $25,000. Those are proportionally equitable at $1.55 per square foot. we don't want to sit on these lots. We just want to encourage somebody to purchase and develop. I think that in conversations with community members that are interested but just don't want to bite the bullet quite yet, these are acceptable. I've talked with the appraisal company about it, and given the time frame, we think this is a good starting point. So we'll rebid these for 60 days. 60 days overall on a public surplus. The overall cost of the development was $233,000, recall that. If we sell them at these minimum bid, these revised minimum bids, joined with the other five lots that have already sold, we'll be at $319,000 total in revenue for land sales. That's a projected ROA or ROI for 47.81%. And the projected ROI prior to the reduction of the bid was 47%. And if the estimated actual ROI, if sold at reduced bid prices, 37%, so about a 10%, 11% loss on ROI. But I'll take 37% any day. We're not in the business of making money. I wish those alder top numbers looked like that, but we're hopeful that the intangible benefits and indirect benefits of having families move here and setting up a home and expanding the tax base will help our cause in that way. So. Revising the minimum bids and moving forward with another public auctions for 60 days.
Thank you. And we always had this option to us that we would drop the price, and we've done this on other public auction items. Any comments, questions, Assemblymember Dalrymple?
I've got a question for the borough manager. Mason, do you have opinions of why these didn't sell? Have we maxed out the people that want, have we fulfilled all the needs, or are these truly deficient lots in some way? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I don't know that I have any specific answers as to the characteristics of the property. I myself haven't really looked into each individual lot to see how they differ from the ones that actually have sold. It'd be an interesting analysis, but generally I would probably put it to the overall cost of development, the demand out there. I wouldn't say that the characteristics of these lots is dramatically different in any way. But the fact that, you know, you have to get a core permit, you have to fill these lots, that's costly. And so to expect somebody to put in the $30,000 and 6 months to do that takes a little bit of encouragement. So hopefully this revised minimum bid does that.
It's just something to keep an eye on, I think, for any kind of sales. And this is a good strategy, too. I mean, we're active in it.
We just don't want to sit on them too long. I think that, you know, the conventional borough back in the day would have just continued to leave these out there and you know, have them over the counter or something, but we want to kind of move on it, encourage development where we can.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay, poll vote please.
Assemblymember Small?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item H, page 78, resolution number 07-25-1960 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing application to the State of Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities Municipal Harbor Facility Grants Program and committing raised grant funds as the required 50% match for the Inner Harbor Replacement Project.
Move to approve resolution number 07-25-1960.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Mock, second by Robbins. And
thank you, Madam Mayor.
To us.
So the State Harbor Matching Program is something, the grant program rather, is something we've leveraged abundantly over the course of borough history. We just recently did the Myers-Chuck Harbor and dock replacement down there. That's a 50% matching program. This is a resolution to authorize us applying for it. Seems kind of silly, but for some grants, that's a requirement to have the Assembly's blessing to do so. Amber and I and Steve met, and we're a little bit torn on how we want to strategically approach the Harbor Matching Program. We don't even know if it'll be funded in 27, but this is a grant application to attempt it. It was not funded in FY26, but we chose the Inner Harbor because I think the opportunity cost of doing one of the other three systems in the Wrangell Harbor Basin project, again, there's the Inner Harbor, there's Reliance, and there's Standard Oil Floats systems. Inner Harbor is not utilized much at all. The occupied rate is very, very low. And so that's a function of there being a lot of 17-foot stalls, which in this day and age are a bit obsolete. Most people trailer those types of boats. So if we're able to continue to to focus on that with the State Harbor Matching Program. In the event that we didn't get the RAISE grant, we still have the ability to move forward with that, and I think that would serve the borough best in terms of cost benefit. I think that we will get the RAISE grant. It sounds optimistic, but I don't want to, you know, promise anything. Still under review, and Amber had a nice update today from DOT, so continuing to monitor that. But, you know, we're not going to get too excited over the State Harbor Matching Program yet, but we will be pushing that. And thank Senator Stedman. He has been a tremendous advocate for this program, and I know that there's been attempts to expand the funding caps on this Harbor Matching Program to $7.5 million. That failed this last legislative cycle. But still $5 million, and we'll proceed accordingly.
Okay. Any questions? And when will we know about the RAISE grant?
Kind of up in the air, but think sooner than later. There's Amber, you can talk about the grant agreement if you'd like.
Yeah. Kind of up in the air, as he says.
It's a little bit complicated, but.
Yeah. Basically, I think with all of the new executive orders that have been issued from the new administration, many grants were put on hold to review the programmatic language to make sure that they aligned with the new administration's executive orders, right? So same with the RAISE grant. You know, they've been reviewing that to make sure that all the new executive orders were considered in a rewrite of their programmatic language. So that work has pretty much been done, and with that, we've not heard anything negative about our project, and even today, our grant specialist said that they have not heard that there is a projection to eliminate any of the projects. I think that if it were solely a wind farm project, or you know, some other, you know, renewable energy project that was its primary goal, we might see something, but that's not our case. We made the case a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was. Senator Sullivan was seeking comments on DOT-funded projects that received awards to confirm that they were resource extraction related. And we confirmed that for this project. So, all things aside, you know, we're. I think that we've proven that this is a transportation project for the most part, and you know, it is finding favor as it moves forward. But what they've told us today was that the new thing that the DOT especially has with their grant funding is. It used to be they awarded you the project, you moved forward, and you entered into a grant agreement, and then you hired your consultant and you did the work, all the work, including environmental, permitting, design, and then you followed up with the construction. Well, things have changed in the last couple of years whereby they now require you to complete NEPA, do all the environmental work up front, make sure you at least get a NEPA decision, even if you haven't completed everything, but they've got their checklist of, you know, 100 points that they've got to check off. And only once you get NEPA complete will they then enter into the grant agreement with you. We don't have a NEPA complete decision for the Ringle Harbor, and it's likely going to be, my guess is probably another year or more before we get that. And primarily, I think just in general, these projects are what they told us, the average, I think I've shared this with you, the average grant agreement timeline from last year's awardees was 386 days. I was going to try to beat that, but we are also working with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for the dredging of that Wrangell Harbor Basin that needs to be done in connection with this project. So with the added challenge of the Corps now needing to get their work included in this NEPA decision, that's going to delay things. But the Corps and the RAISE folks, we've been meeting concurrently and having joint meetings to talk about what they need, what the plan's going to be, and the Corps is working toward that effort. So we're kind of in a holding pattern waiting on the Corps to get their plan together to be able to provide that to the RAISE folks, who are going to provide the NEPA clearance for the Corps' work as well. So there's a lot going on here. although that's now going to be a year or so out, what I learned today was that the Office of the Secretary of Transportation has said that they will go ahead and review a draft grant agreement to determine, you know, just give us a confirmation whether or not this is a project that's got some problems or will be fine to move forward. I don't know that we'll actually be able to enter into the grant agreement, but at least they're willing to review that now and give us some feedback. So, long story short, it's going to be a while, but it seems like our project, it seems like it's going to be safe as far as the $25 million.
And boy, I mean, we got it on the third try. We went three times to
five times total. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It seems like we've been on this for years.
Yeah. And you know, when we pursued that grant agreement, we also had to say anything above and beyond the $25 million project cost, the borough had to identify that we would cover that cost and any cost overruns that occur. We committed to doing that. You all may remember. And in our grant agreement, we said we would do that with a revenue bond. The application to the Harbor Facility Grant Program through the state, it is our hope that that will take the place of the revenue bond. If for some reason that program doesn't get funded and or we don't get funded, if it is funded, we will likely be looking at returning back to the revenue bond as an option, but we're trying to mitigate that need.
Thanks, Amber, for that clarification. Yeah. That's important. Yeah. An important distinction to point out. And as it relates to the matching criteria for State Harbor matching, because it's a federal and state source, they can match each other. So.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you. Yeah. You're trying to save money, but we have to be patient.
Amber's just skimming the surface on the complexities of
some
of these major
programs. Yeah, I know she is.
So I appreciate her diligence in monitoring it.
You bet.
Thank you.
You bet.
Any comments or questions, Assembly? Okay. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Dowderfall?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Mayor Geller?
Yes. Item I, approval of a cooperative management agreement for managing Petroglyph Beach State Historic Site.
Move to approve the cooperative management agreement for managing Petroglyph Beach State Historic Site between the State of Alaska, Department of Natural Resources, Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation, and the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Robbins, second by Mock.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is kind of comical. This took 18 months, and at the very least, to get an MOA or a cooperative agreement with the State Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation, which is under DNR, to seek fee collection or revenue collection per head tax and permit fees. For the site and replacement and recapitalization and maintenance of the site. Originally, we were hung up on a 90-10 revenue share, which is crazy to us because they ended up just letting us have 100% of the revenue out of it. And so we appreciate Preston Crows, who was the Southeast Director for State Parks, and he got this done as his last action with the Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation. Wish him well in retirement. But this allows us to retain 100% of the proceeds derived from permit fees and per head count fees out at the site. We've struggled to come up with funding mechanisms to replace infrastructure out there, expand. I know that restrooms and additional parking are top of mind as we look to expand the site. But having the management authority and the defined revenue stream to be able to do that's been quite difficult. So. Additionally, it allows for us it authorizes us to have commercial use permits, special use permits, compliance with state statute, but we have the autonomy to continue to manage the site how we see fit as long as we operate within the parameters of state statute. We will have a Wrangell Cooperative Association be our tribal liaison for the site. It's culturally significant, clearly, to them and to us, and Kate will be working on the process for permit applications for commercial users, and for those that are participating as an offering to the visitor industry, and we will eventually pass that on from the Economic Development Office to Parks and Rec to manage, and then we will be encouraging our local tribe to lobby to actually get the site managed themselves. We think it's something that, that is suitable for them to manage, and it's quite appropriate for them to retain even maybe ownership if they could get that far into the lobbying process. However, given reasonable timelines and the fact that this took us 18 months to get across the line, this was a good alternative until the right solution could be reached, which is WA should have that site and manage it appropriately. So thank you to Kate, and thank you to Preston and everybody at DNR for making this happen. Yeah. Governor's office, too, they helped push this a little bit at the end there.
I really never thought this would go through.
Neither did we, would, actually, at a certain point.
Yeah, that they would give this ability.
So there's another borough assembly goal off the list. I know
yes.
that was the one we had, so.
Yes. Any comments or questions? All right. Thank you very much, Kate. Economic Development Director. All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly members to board?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Dover?
Yes. Item six is an executive session to discuss potential options for developing the waterfront property.
I move pursuant to 44.62.310(c)(1) and (2). That we recess into executive session to discuss matters waterfront development, the immediate knowledge of which could clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the borough, specifically to discuss the borough manager potential options for developing a waterfront property.
And
I would like to invite Economic Director Kate Thomas.
And can you invite Kim too?
And Ken Clerk.
Okay.
City Clerk Kim Lane.
Second.
All right. So we have a motion by Robin, second by Mock. Any discussion? All right. I'm going to. Why do I keep forgetting
it's
that?
Okay.
Yeah, poll vote, please.
Assembly Member Robin?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Support?
Yes.
Mayor Dover?
Yes. And so we're going to recess at 6:41. Thank you.